I learned last night that today is not a holiday, but suddenly everything got canceled. Government offices and schools closed today. No school today. It's not even raining, but maybe it will rain. So, and there's no typhoon, they said, but they're expecting heavy rain. So maybe it's just an extension of yesterday's holiday. So we're all called to be mga bayani today. Anyway, so welcome. I don't know if people whose work or gets canceled, do they get paid?
Huh?
Regular workers get paid even if they don't go to work. Okay, well, good for them. Most people who, if they don't work, they don't get paid. Well, so here we are. Very good that you used your holiday to come to Mass. We continue to read Jesus' fiery criticism of the Pharisees and their blatant hypocrisy. Now, when we are looking at the hypocrisy of others, it's very easy to be critical, because hypocrisy is a very ugly behavior. And so we can join Jesus in criticizing the Pharisees, because the Pharisees are worthy of criticism. He says here that they're paying tithes on mint and dill and cumin, meaning very small fragments of plants and spices. And yet they're neglecting judgment and mercy and fidelity, what we're really called to focus on. Truth, forgiveness, faith, love. And he says, these are the things you're supposed to do. Yeah, you don't neglect the minor things, no, but pay attention to the more important things, but get your priorities straight. And if you don't do that, especially if you're doing it on purpose, you're hypocrites and blind guides. Well, now we could say, I'm not preoccupied with mint and dill and cumin. I don't know what cumin is. I had to look it up. In fact, when I looked it up, it's not even in my dictionary. C-U-M-M-I-N. I said that, and then I had to dig a little bit. It's actually, the normal spelling is C-U-M-I-N. And then I said, well, I don't even know how to pronounce it. Is it cumin, cumin, cumin? And my dictionary says all three are legitimate. But the first pronunciation is cumin. And then it says it's related to parsley. Well, actually, one dictionary said it's related to parsley, and it's used with curry. And the other dictionary said it's from the carrot family. So that got me thinking, parsley and carrots related? It must be related. In Luke's version of this condemnation of the Pharisees, he doesn't mention cumin. He mentions rue, R-U-E. So I looked up rue. What is this rue? Some kind of a bitter spice. Now you can see what happens. See what happens? I spent 10 minutes looking up cumin, rue, and the pronunciation. What happened? I got led down to insignificant things and neglected the impact of the Word of God. And this happens to us all the time. The reason I'm saying it this way is because we can look at the Pharisees and say how stupid they are. They're getting caught up in insignificant things. I don't do that. Well, yes, I do. And so do you. Insignificant things can capture our attention, and we treat them as more important than the commandments. Now, it's not always deliberate. In my case, that wasn't a deliberate hypocrisy. That was just distraction. And that's, I think, what happens to us most of the time. We just get distracted by things that catch our attention. And if we're not careful and we don't get awakened, either by the word or by someone's good example or by something that alert our conscience, well, then we might be distracted for a long time. Worse, if we are deliberately avoiding important things and deliberately focusing on insignificant things simply because they don't challenge us, they're not calling us to love or to sacrifice, and so we don't mind paying tithes on mint and parsley because it doesn't cost anything. That's easy. And we could look good doing it. So the point is, and I'm sure you know this when you ponder the word, the point is not the Pharisees' hypocritical behavior, or the insignificant things they focus on. The point is, how am I led down the path of hypocrisy? How am I being tempted to put more emphasis on insignificant things and neglect the weightier things? As I say, sometimes it's not our fault, it's not deliberate, but we have to be aware of our weakness. Social media is great at this. In fact, the algorithms are designed to catch the very thing that interests us. Somewhere in the world of the cloud, some algorithm knows who I am, knows where I am, knows how old I am, and knows my preferences, knows what I watched yesterday. A week ago or 2 weeks ago, a little video popped up on my, I don't know what it was, Facebook. It was AI-generated babies talking to each other in adult language. And it was really clever. I mean, I really enjoyed it. They're sitting there with microphones like they're on a podcast. And these are like six-month-old babies, you know, diapers. And they're talking with intelligent adult language. It was really fun. So I enjoyed it. I don't know how it got there, but so the algorithm thought I might enjoy it. I did. So now the algorithm knows I spent 6.5 minutes watching those babies. What's the next thing that comes up? More AI-generated babies. And I've seen a dozen, I don't know how many dozens, but after a couple of them, I said, wait a minute, somebody's manipulating me here, but I'm easily manipulated. I'm sure you have your own examples. You know, cats, whatever. People, you know, having car accidents, things that show up. For me, it's clips of sports, highlights of baseball double plays or something. If I watch one highlight, they give me six more. I know sister says sometimes they give her recipes. You look up one recipe, you get 10 more recipes. Okay, now, are those weightier things of the law? No, they're not bad, but they're insignificant. So we have to be mindful of what is significant, what's important in our life. This is one of the reasons why pondering the word is so valuable. Taking time to let the word sink in to our inner life rather than just whatever pops into social media or whatever pops into our heads. But it's very humbling to ponder this word and to realize how insignificant things affect us. I was very humbled on Friday. I joined the retreat and I had a mass here in the morning. It was Feast of the Queenship of Mary. And then I drove down to Lipa and joined the retreat, and I was just helping out with the confessions and assisting the retreat master. So Friday night, we had a mass, we had a meditation, had a holy hour, evening prayer. So by the time it's supper, I think supper was at 7, so I'd like to get to know the retreatant, so I sat down across from a guy, and I noticed that he had a little, looked like the leftovers of the afternoon merienda. I said, oh, you know, I had a big plate of food. I said, well, looks like you're still eating a merienda. He said, yeah, I set it aside. He didn't want to talk about it. I said, well, you know, why? Maybe he didn't like the food. I don't know. He said, oh, it's, you know, because of the fast for peace. The fast for peace? I had completely forgotten about it. Remember, Friday was a day of fasting and prayer for peace in the world. It had not entered my head for the last 8 hours. And then I remembered, I stood right at this altar Friday morning and gave a very strong plea, joined in this prayer of the church, prayer and fasting for peace. Pope Leo is right, we've got to pray for peace. And I stood right there and said that to everybody who was in the chapel. And then within an hour, that thought of praying and fasting for peace went out of my head. I never thought of it again. And here's this guy on a retreat. He spent the whole afternoon prayer and fasting. Here he is at supper time, and I'm sitting across from him with a big plate of food. Who's the Pharisee here who binds up heavy loads and puts them on other people and doesn't do anything to help us? I was, even though I was not a hypocrite, when I said that on Friday morning, I was not being inauthentic. I really believe that was an important intention, and it still is. I pray every day for peace. But here's a guy who took it more seriously than I did, and I'm the one talking about it. He's doing it. So that's exactly what the Pharisees do, right? They talk, but they preach, but they don't practice. Well, Jesus in this gospel, he
And in this whole series of woes that he gives to the Pharisees, he condemns this very thing. Preaching without practicing, taking care of externally holy looking things and not taking care of the important things, or in the second part of this gospel, taking care of the outside, cleansing the outside, appearances only, without cleansing the inside. Big, big trap to focus only on outside things and not inside things. Pondering the word not only exposes our tendency to focus on outside things, but it also instructs us to go deeper and work on what God wants to plant in our hearts: judgment, mercy, fidelity, faith, patience, virtues, all the virtues. So the Word of God gives us in the Gospel a negative example of the Pharisees. In the first reading, we get the positive example. It's the beauty of the Word of God. We get St. Paul not boasting, but clearly revealing what he was trying to do when he was with the Thessalonians. And he speaks about exactly the opposite of a Pharisee. Now, he is a Pharisee. Remember, he was by training a Pharisee. So he knows very well how to do all the exterior things, and he does them very well. But he doesn't mention any of that when he talks to the Thessalonians. This is, now he's a man who's on the journey of conversion for years. And he says, okay, we suffered in Philippi, we came to you. We didn't come with any delusion, impure motives, we didn't have any deception. We were authentic in trying to give to you what we received, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we received, we gave to you. Not trying to please men, but please God, the one who judges our hearts. So whatever you think of us, whatever you think of me, whatever anyone thinks of me, I'm going to do the will of God. This is an authentic Christian. And this is an example set before us. This is the way to live. Obviously, it's the way to live. Whether we do it or not, that's the challenge to us. But at least the Word gives us the wisdom. This is really what we really want. This is what we're really called for. Not to be focused on parsley or impressing anyone, but God, who judges our hearts. And then he goes on. I didn't use flattering speech. I wasn't motivated by greed. I didn't seek praise from men, from you, or for anybody else. Rather, and we could have, because we have the authority of apostles, but then he says, rather, I love this image that he uses for himself, we were gentle among you as a nursing mother cares for her children. Now here's Paul the apostle, Paul the very strong and convicted Pharisee, using as an image for himself a nursing mother caring for her children. It's a rather daring thing to claim, but it's a beautiful one. It shows what's going on in his heart. And you can't get much better an image of concern for the other than a nursing mother. The nursing mother is not doing anything to impress anyone. Her focus is on what's good for this baby. Even at great sacrifice. Of course, there's this maternal instinct, and mothers go way beyond what you might think, because they're motivated to care for that baby. And that's the example. With such affection for you, with affection like a mother, like I'm your mother and you're my baby, that's what he's saying. We were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So dearly beloved have you become to us. It's a beautiful image of selfless, sacrificial, other-centered love, service, Christian witness. It's a beautiful example. Are we like that? Maybe, sometimes. But what we're being told here, strive to be more like this. Make the deliberate decision not to focus on parsley and on impressing people, and on especially doing religiously impressive things for people to see. Make the decision not to go that way. That might have to renew the decision 5 times a day, but at least make the decision, and then make the positive decision to look for the good to be done to the other.
what does this person, who's not my child that I'm nursing, but he or she is still someone who God has put before me to love, what does God want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord, for this person, that person, these people, this situation? How can I give myself today? How can I be like St. Paul in his love for the Thessalonians? Good food for our hearts in today's scriptures.